And our desire is just to come with the heart of gratitude, understanding and knowing, Lord, that you've made a way for us to come and to worship you. And I'm so thankful for that freedom, Lord. I'm thankful that we have this building. And we know, Lord, that this is a gift from you. And so as we gather to hear from you, we also want to pray, God, for many who are just devastated through all of the different earthquakes that have happened in Turkey and Syria, through all the other natural disasters across our nation, Lord. There are many people tonight that don't have this privilege that we do right now. And I just pray, God, that as we lift them up into your hands, as we intercede for them, that, God, you would provide, that you would pour out your spirit amongst these areas, and that the family of God, Lord, the body of Christ would rise up and be there, that we would be those good Samaritans to those that are in need. So, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this time that we can get into your word. And I pray that your word would just draw us closer to your heart tonight. And it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. Why don't you go ahead and greet one another and go ahead and have a seat. All right. So good to be here with you guys tonight. And if you have your Bibles, please open it up to the book of Exodus. We're going to be in chapter 2. We're going to complete that chapter from verse 16 up to verse 25. And while you are turning there, if many of you have been watching the news and seeing all of the things that are going on and are being touched by the Lord to want to do something in the next few days or so, we will probably be posting things on our social media, or you could even call the church office. But as of right now, we're wanting to look into different Christian organizations that are going to be there to provide aid and for first responders and things like that. You know, Samaritan's Purse is already probably on their way as we speak. And so that's always a ministry that we will direct people to. But I also know that the Calvary Association also has a relief team. And so we are going to be looking, give you guys information. And as the Lord leads you, whatever he puts upon your heart, and even if it's just simply to pray, we want to make sure that we're doing that and not turning our eyes away from the destruction and all that's happened in these countries, regardless if they're friends to Israel or not, or even to the United States. When people are in need, it's the time that the body of Christ needs to rise up and be above it. And so we'll give you guys more information as time goes on. But again, you seek the Lord, you pray, and as the Lord leads you. Sound good? Awesome, awesome. Listen, why don't we, now that you got comfortable, let's all stand out of reverence one more time so we can read God's word together. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" God, we just come before you and we want to, again, just give you our hearts and ask that you would speak to us tonight. We see, Lord, throughout your word many times that there are different circumstances, different scenarios, and sometimes we can read a few verses and think that it happened just within a matter of seconds or the next day. And yet this small portion of scripture that we're getting ready to dive in covers literally 40 years of a man's life. And I just pray, God, that we would take note of the important things that you want to show us tonight. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're in control of all things. There's no circumstance, there's no difficulty, there's no trouble that we will ever face that you're not bigger than those troubles. And so we rest in you tonight. We believe with all of our heart that you have the power and the ability to set free, to redeem, to heal, to fix any of the problems that we see today. And so we pray, Lord, that even in the midst of hardships, even in the midst of troubles, that we would always come back to the truth and know who you are. All we need to do is look up and realize that you are far greater than all. And with you, Lord, there is nothing impossible. So tonight we ask that you would minister to our heart. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, please have a seat. And, you know, as we were greeting one another, I want to give a shout out to those who are watching online, to my parents, my mom and my dad. I pray that you guys enjoy the service tonight. I also want to just welcome anybody who's watching for the very first time. We're blessed that you're joining our service. And for those of you who are watching, who have the capability here in St. George to be here, yes, I'm talking to you. You should be here with us. And so we want to encourage you to come on out and fellowship with the body. It's so good to have people here tonight and us doing what God's called us to do, and that's to fellowship and build one another up. And so praise the Lord for that. But listen, tonight before we do jump into our study, a little recap. Last week, we covered the first 40 years of Moses' life. And this was during one of the darkest times for the nation of Israel. God preserved Moses' life from a mad king who put out that decree that he gave his people the authority to kill all of the baby boys during that time because he feared that the nation of Israel would outnumber them. And of course, Moses became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and we witnessed how his life was spared once again. He grew up within the king's, you know, palace. He was well educated, and we walked away learning that Moses, during that 40 years, was mighty in word and in deed. So in other words, he wasn't just kicking back enjoying the luxury of Pharaoh's wealth, but he actually was involved and he was learning all of the Egyptian culture and the education that was provided for him. And even as a prince, according to history, he would have had to gone through military training as well. So he was well trained, well educated, and he was kind of moving up in that ladder of success from a prince to maybe one day actually becoming a pharaoh. And of course, he could have remained there and be, you know, fill that life of luxury and comfort. But we looked at how those seeds that had been planted by his parents, by his mom and dad, at such a young age, that those seeds began to blossom. And if you remember with me, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, tells us because of Moses' faith in God that he would rather choose to suffer with his people than to enjoy the life of pleasure and sin. That he actually did not want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was willing in his own heart, and this is his viewpoint as it was written in Hebrews, that he viewed persecution far greater than the treasures of Egypt. Only that in itself can be a work of God. Because I'm pretty sure that many people today would have chose that life of luxury, that life of money. Give me everything that my little heart desires. But it is so amazing that when people get that, how empty they still feel. It's amazing to me how there are so many people who have a great amount of zeros in their bank account. Instead of it bringing the joy that it promises, most of the time it brings more headaches than joy. You know, one of the things that I can recall in my life is you know, prior to me coming to the Lord, having these desires, and even if I were to attain a small glimpse of one, it was never satisfying. I always wanted more. And so Moses chose not to go that route, and yet his heart was to, again, be with his people. We witnessed how Moses tried to help, tried to raise up the first time. And of course, he killed an Egyptian taskmaster that was beating up a fellow Hebrew slave. And then as a second attempt to prove to his people that he was going to be their next leader or their deliverer, he tried to break up two of them while they were fighting. And it's sure enough, he says that one of the Hebrew men says, "Who made you prince over us? Do you intend to kill me like you did that Egyptian?" And of course, after that, he fled. And we find him now in Midian sitting next to a well. And so in verse 16, we are now introduced to the priest of Midian. And his name is Reuel, or he's also known as Jethro. As we go through our study in Exodus, we'll see either name, but it's the same person. We also know that the Midianites were descendants of Abraham. So it's very possible that they actually were, he was a priest of the one true living God. We don't know this for sure, but what do we know? This brother had seven daughters. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot in one household. I was very blessed as Maurice and I, our family extended. We had three girls, but I was surprised how we also had female dogs in the Philippines, and it was a lot. But seven, right? No boys are mentioned. And it also tells us that his daughters were the ones who cared, who were shepherdesses, who cared for his flock. And in this short portion of scripture, it says that they came to the well. And of course, they drew water out of the well, put it in the water trough so that their flock could drink from there. And in verse 17, notice what takes place. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. As other shepherds from the surrounding area came to the well, this word drove means to cast out or to drive away. In other words, these men were forcefully removing them from allowing their sheep to drink, allowing them to get near this well. And so as we read on, we're going to discover this wasn't the first time that this happened, but it was something that happened quite often. But these men, listen, these men were basically bullying these seven sisters and forcing them to wait until their sheep were all done drinking water for them to go back. And so even though all of this stuff was going on this one day, there was a change. As Moses sat near this well, he witnessed these men doing what they were to these women. And here's where it's important for us to see that Moses didn't turn his head, but he stood up and he helped them. Not only did he protect them, come to their aid, but he also watered their flock. And this is important for us to understand. As Moses witnessed what was going on, from his sitting position next to this well, he stood up and he came to their defense. And this is important for us to understand, is that in the New Living Translation, it says he basically chased them away. Okay? Now, I don't know how many shepherds there were. It's plural. Could have been two, could have been three. If it was like five, Moses must have knew his stuff. But again, don't know exactly how many. They could have been afraid because of his outfit, knowing that he was an Egyptian. Maybe there's other Egyptians around that we don't see yet, so we better not mess with them. But again, because he was a young prince, guaranteed he had military background, and he would have been able to handle himself. So don't know for sure which one. But Moses was able to remove them, chase them away, keep them from bullying these women. And he didn't just stop there. He went, and not only did he show some gentlemen, some chivalry here, by coming alongside, drawing water himself, and doing it for these women. And so this is a small glimpse of a picture of what his future role would be as a deliverer of the nation of Israel. And so if you notice with me, this is what the scripture says. This is what I believe that Moses is fulfilling here. James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." You know, it's amazing to me that today when we watch the news and when we watch what's going on, instead of somebody stepping in and helping somebody who's getting beat out of their mind, people are just standing around videotaping it and laughing about it. That's not what the scriptures are telling us to do. And it is, again, it's a sad thing because it's multiple people doing it. Instead of coming to the aid of somebody, and it floors me, I'm just going to be real here, it floors me to see teenagers abusing elderly people for no reason. And they just laugh at it. It floors me to think that guys will go into an area where the homeless are sleeping, where they're not even bothering anybody, going into their tents and beating them and videotaping it just for the sake of a laugh. That's not what the scriptures is telling us. Notice this other one, Psalm 82, verse 3 to 4. "Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked." Now, I need you to understand, I am not giving anybody permission to go out and act like Rambo. Okay? You guys with me? Okay, you don't need to go out and get a concealed weapons, you know, license so that you can go around and act like you're, you know, the community police. That's not what I'm saying. And while I'm on that topic, can I just share this with you? It may be so easy for a person to get a hold of a gun. And just because you have a piece of paper that gives you the right to carry it, I hope and understand you count the cost if you ever have to pull it out. I hope and pray that you understand that it's not a toy. And I hope and pray that if you ever do, that God would be your strength and that it would not torment you for the rest of your life. What I am saying here is that I pray that none of us, if we ever witness injustice happening right in front of our eyes, that we would not turn our heads and do nothing. I hope and pray that you would understand that there are many ways that you can help. You might say, well, I don't know how to handle myself. I don't even know how to fight. A fly can beat me up, Pastor. You have the capability of using your phone to call the police. You have the ability to stay there and take photos of a car or a license plate and report it to the police. If you are skilled and you can handle your business, I just want to ask that you would be led by the Lord. But the reality is this is just me being not arrogant. But I believe there's one thing that would ever cause me to stumble. And that is if anybody ever came after my kids or my wife, you will definitely see the ugly Jerry come out. And I'm not saying that boastfully, but I pray that that would never happen. I pray, just like we see in the scriptures, there's times when a shepherd needs to be, you know, the protector from the wolf or the bear or whatever, from danger. I'm not just going to stand by and say, well, my wife's saved. She's going to go to see Jesus. It's all good. She's looking at me, you better not say that. But I think you guys get my point. And it just sickens me to see where our society has gone when we're called to help one another in those times of need. That we would get a laugh or a kick out of it and just videotape it. And I hope and pray that you would understand this. Standing up doesn't mean that you have to get physical. There's so many ways that you can come alongside people today. And when it says that Moses stood up, there was a commitment to go from one position to another, not just to feel sorry for somebody, but to actually have compassion. You know, it floored me, It amazed me because it wasn't too long ago. I want you to see this. Not too long ago, a football player who was injured on the football field, and when that incident happened, people began to pray. We heard a lot of prayer on national TV. Pray for the family. Pray for him. Pray for him. We see team members praying out on the field. And this one gentleman who, from my understanding, I'm not saying I know this from personal experience, but he's a believer, had a GoFundMe or a ministry reaching out to kids and providing toys and gifts for them. It wasn't doing so well before he got injured. But after he got injured, millions of people started donating to his organization. And then the next week, again, people getting on the field and praying, national TV, ESPN reporter praying on national TV. That's football. I wish we'd do the same after this earthquake. I wish we would have that same compassion and love like we see happening on a football field when it comes to people whose homes just collapsed. Do you guys follow with what I'm saying? And so there's a commitment that we can make, and that is, number one, standing up and committing. And you might think, well, we got to do more than this. But the reality is, the first thing I would ask anybody to do is pray for those. Pray for those who are being abused. Pray for those who are being sex trafficked. Pray for those who are considering doing abortions. All of these topics nobody wants to talk about. But these are things that are important. These are things that God desires for us as the body of Christ to be a light in. And you and I can never battle a spiritual battle carnally, but we battle it spiritually. So what am I asking to stand up and commit to doing what? Praying for them. You know, for those of you, I would encourage all of you, write this down, okay? Every first Friday of the month, this church on our calendar is committed to praying and fasting for the day. And a part of the praying, we've always had it during our worship and prayer night where we pray for our world, our nation, our county, and our home. We include everything from our leaders, those in authority, our president, first responders, anybody who's a part of the law process of passing and declining or, you know, doing away with laws. We pray for our nation, where we're at. We have so many different prayer points. And I want to encourage you, commit to putting this on that prayer list. Praying for those that are needy. Praying for those who have been abused. And as a matter of fact, there's organizations here within our community, the Dove Center. You can pray for Switchpoint. You can pray for the Children's Justice Center. You can pray for Hope Pregnancy Care Center. There's organizations within our community that we can be praying for. The second thing that I would say, and what I would consider somebody standing up, is getting involved. Get connected with these ministries. Make a phone call. Send an email. Now, I understand some of these ministries are going to be a lot more challenging for males to be a part of. But I do know this, that the power of presence is so needed in somebody's life who's been abused. The presence of a person not always having to say words, but just physically being there, and a simple hug can sometimes do more than any words we speak. So how do we stand up? How do we get involved? How do we get connected? Go on a short-term trip. You know, Marisa and I have been praying for our older daughter, Sabrina. Many of you know her. She came and led worship here at the church. She's getting ready to go to Cambodia. And where's she going? To go help an organization that's rescuing teenagers and little girls who have been sex trafficked. And this has just rocked her to the point where I want to go. And you may not have the ability to go, but God provided. And if whatever God puts upon your heart to do, He'll provide as well. You don't have to go overseas. There's organizations here. But getting involved and being there, volunteering, encouraging, hugging on these women, loving on them in a proper way. If God leads you, you can stand up and support them financially. There's ways to do it without using violence, is my point. And this is where it's important for us to understand. Moses, again, is showing little glimpses of the leader that God is wanting him to be. And so, as Moses was able to not only come to their aid and then take care of their flock, I want you to notice what verse 18 says. When they came home, Dad noticed, why are you guys home so early? How is it that you have come home so soon, he said. And so it's, again, very obvious that these shepherds who were doing this in the past had absolutely no fear or respect toward Jethro or his daughters. And yet, his daughters began to speak up and explain to Dad what just happened. And let's pick up in verse 19. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. And so he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him, that we may eat bread. And so I want you to see this, because it's important for us to understand. Actually, let me read a couple more verses. And then Moses was content to live with them, or with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And so the first thing that the girls tell Dad is, listen, there was this Egyptian man, and he came to our aid, Dad. I don't know if they went into detail of all the stuff that he did, but basically he delivered them from the shepherds. A matter of fact, the shepherds actually got a taste of their own medicine. This time it was them being chased away instead of them chasing the girls away. And not only did he deliver them, but they went on to say he actually drew water from the well, filled up the water trough for our sheep. He did it all, Dad. We were able to sit down and he did everything for us. You know, one of the things that I know I don't do quite enough of, but there's times when I do this, it's very far and few between. But one of the things that Marisa has been blessed to do is visit our grandkids whenever our daughters need them. And I know some of her fears of coming home to a dirty house. Dishes in the sink or, you know, things like that. And so I try my best to keep it clean. And so I do my best to do that. And I don't always accomplish the goal, but I know it blesses her. And I know it blesses, listen, I know it blesses other women when we come alongside and help in those times of need. You know, I pray that if we see somebody coming out of the market and they're in maybe one of those electric little carts, and they got a full basket of groceries, that you would just very politely offer to help. Now, she might look at you all crooked, like, get away from my groceries, because eggs are expensive nowadays, right? You know what I'm talking about? But just out of common courtesy, can I help you? Can I get that for you? You know, if you're getting ready to walk out of a building and you notice a woman coming more than maybe not even more than 10 feet away from you, hold the door open. You're being a gentleman. And hopefully she will appreciate it. But I'm pretty sure that Jethro's daughters were excited at the fact that somebody actually stood up for us. And to make everything even more of a blessing, we got a break today. And so, verse 20, Jethro starts asking his daughters questions, probably shocked at first, but I want you to notice this. He went on to ask them, well, where is he? Why did you leave him, you know, alone? Why did you leave him there at the well? And then he gives them instructions, go and call him. In other words, go get him, bring him back. The least that we could do is feed the guy. I may not have much to offer an Egyptian, but at least I could break bread with him. At least I could show him how I'm thankful for him coming to my daughter's aid. And so sure enough, the girls do what dad says. And then, of course, in verse 21, notice this. Moses stayed for dinner. Not sure how much time has passed here. But again, it also says that Moses was content to live with the man. And here's where, from verse 21, we're going to see from that verse to when God appears to Moses in chapter 3. Listen carefully. According to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 30, Moses would spend the next 40 years here in Midian with Jethro. And these 40 years would be years of preparation. This preparation that God was getting ready to do, again, developing him into the leader that God would want him to be. Because this next 40 years of preparation will then help him for the next 40 years of wandering in the wilderness with God's people. So Moses, listen to this. In this season of preparation, this is what God did. God removed him from a palace and put him up in a tent like we see at Walmart. You know those little tents? Of course, they're a little bit more modernized today, but God would take this prince of Egypt and turn him into a shepherd. God would then, listen, take him away from all of the comforts of living in this palace, most powerful city of all the entertainment, to now living in a desert. Let me tell you, there is nothing pretty about tumbleweed. There is nothing amazing about a desert. You know, how many of you get excited from driving from California to Las Vegas? You see about four shades of brown. That's it. A few tumbleweed. You might see a cactus tree, but even that's brown, right? There's nothing beauty about it. There's no beauty in it. But God was doing all of this. God actually stripped everything from Moses, and this is where God will do his best work. If you want to see the Lord move, what will be required? A surrendered heart. If you desire to be used by God and to grow in your relationship with the Lord, it starts with surrendering your heart. Because when you surrender your heart, you're not looking for any other thing to help bring that growth or, you know, to be in that place that God wants you. It's God doing it all in and then through you. God has to first do a work in us before he will use us. So Moses was stripped of everything. But this is the beauty that I love about God when he works. Because whatever he takes away, he gives you something better. How do we see this in the passage? Because in the next 40 years, the very first thing that God would do was God would give Moses a family. He would receive a wife. Jethro would give his daughter Zipporah to him, and she would conceive and bear two sons to Moses. We're introduced to the first one. The second one will get introduced later in the scriptures. But God blessed him with the family. The second thing that we see God doing in his time of these next 40 years is, again, he would become a shepherd. He would watch over his father-in-law's flock. And again, all along, it was meant for him to learn how to protect and care for those that were entrusted to him. And remember, there's a difference between a shepherd and a hireling. And the shepherd will do whatever he can to lay down his life for his sheep. But a hireling, the moment danger comes, he's gone. And so for the next 40 years, you know, hey, I told you about that TV show Alone. 71 days does not compare to 40 years. And yet God was the one sustaining him, giving him the ability to learn how to survive, giving him the ability to care for those that were under his wing, giving him the ability to keep his eye out and do all the things that a shepherd would need to do. The other thing that we see again is that this time for Moses, though it may have not felt very comfortable, but again, being in the desert for 40 years would definitely help him when he would deliver God's people. You know, one of the things that I have come to discover as we walk with the Lord, and that is this: every part of our life, whether good or bad, it's all for preparation for what's ahead. God uses everything in our life to help prepare us for what's ahead. And I know that as I look back and I think of some of the things, and I'm amazed that as I look back, how God has brought me to where I'm at today. And again, little by little, looking back and seeing how God put these pieces together, and it still floors me that God would allow Maurice and I to be in this position that we are. But it's all because of him. And whatever God is doing in your life, you may feel like, man, I feel like the nation of Israel right now, where I'm just being trampled on or taken advantage of or being mistreated. All of these years I'm going through these things. Where is God? He's there and he's working. And one of the most important things for us to understand is that God takes all of those seasons in our lives and he uses them to mold us into the image of his son, Christ. It's very clear in the scriptures. Romans in chapter 8 and 9, when Paul was talking about our lives being transformed into his image, this is God's purpose, to take our life and that everything that we would do would mimic what we read in the Word and the way that Jesus responded while he was here on this earth. And this is the other beauty that I've come to discover as well, and I'm pretty sure many of you have too. What is it? Whatever God may ask of us, he will equip you to do it. That's his promise. If he will ask you to do something, he will equip you to do it. And so these next 40 years for Moses, again, some of you might be struggling right now. It's been 2 weeks, Pastor, and God hasn't answered my prayer. Well, let's just pray he doesn't make you wait 40 years. I knew I wouldn't get any amens for that one. Let's go on. Verse 23 to 25. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And so in this next section, we see that the king, the Pharaoh, who threatened Moses' life, has now died. But even though he died, the nation of Israel was still experiencing cruel treatment. And what I find fascinating here is that as God was working in those 40 years in Moses' life, God was also working in the life of his people. How do we see that? Beloved, it's through hardships that we go through that most of the time we are the ones crying out to God, asking for help. When we look up and when we look to the Lord, this is what I love, that the Lord hears the cry of his people. So don't ever allow the enemy to plant those seeds in your ear or in your heart that God doesn't hear your prayer, because he does. Now, here's the honest truth. As they cried out, I bet all of us could understand that they were praying for deliverance. God, don't you see what's happening? Don't you care? Have any of us ever said that to the Lord? I know I have. But even in the midst of their bondage, and the bondage that is referring to here is the cruel treatment, the forced labor, them becoming slaves. And again, it wasn't easy. But even in that hardship, God was preparing to deliver them. God had already mentioned to Abraham that his people would be in a foreign land for a certain amount of years and they would be mistreated, but yet God would deliver them. And we see God now hearing the cries, and enough is enough, and he is now getting ready to move in the life of his people and provide that deliverer that he's always desired in Moses. And one of the things here is I want to just help us to understand, you know, when we're looking at prayer and when we're looking at difficult seasons in our life, many of us will pray, and it's okay to pray this, that God would deliver us from it. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. It's being real and honest with the Lord. I can't take this anymore. Take it away or deliver it. Make something happen, but just do something, Lord. There's nothing wrong with praying that. But can I also tell you that in those times of silence when you've prayed that, maybe there's another prayer that we should be praying, and that is this: Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me through this? Because the Lord can and he has the ability to deliver you, but if you never understand what you're being delivered from, you're going to find yourself right back in that same position. And the reality is that God desires to take every circumstance, develop us to having more maturity, building our character in Christ, building our faith. But if we don't get it, then we'll never grow. So sometimes the Lord will allow these things to progress in our life. You know, I don't know about you, but one of the most, for me, difficult books to read is the book of Job. I struggle every time I read it, and I'm praying and asking the Lord, help me not to struggle. I want to see more of the beauty of this book. And I understand he took away everything, but he blessed him in the end. But in the middle, man, like, please don't give me any friends like that dude, right? But sometimes I struggle through it. And there are things that we go through that we struggle with. Circumstances that are out of our control. And here's what I want us to understand, and I think many of us know this. You know already, beloved, that God will always answer our prayers. The problem is we just may not like the way he answers. We know that there's confirmation in prayer. There can be yes in prayer. Sometimes it's a flat out no, and you know it's a no because everything that you try to do, the door just keeps shutting in your face. And when that happens, beloved, please don't try and kick down the door. Don't try and force something to happen that God doesn't want. You'll only cause more misery. But then there's also that unpleasant answer, and that is to wait. The silence. What is the purpose of the silence? Why do we have to wait? It's because there, that's when your trust will grow. You see, I believe many people, when they pray and they believe that God needs to work according to their timetable, or that every single prayer that they utter that God is supposed to answer, because they said in Jesus' name at the end, can I remind you that God doesn't operate on your timetable? Can I remind you that it's in those times where we think we may be praying what is best for us may not necessarily be God's will for us? And it's also in that time, just because he didn't answer, again, God's desire is, do you trust me? Do you believe that I can do what I said I can do? And I get it, it's difficult. And I get it's never pleasant when you're going through hardships, when you're going through faith-shaking moments in your life. But we have to come back to a solid truth, and that is this. Whenever we pray and God answers, sometimes God is seldom early, but he's never late. And I can just imagine in those 40 years, though we may not know everything that happened in the life of Moses, but I'm pretty sure he got tired of seeing dirt. I'm pretty sure he got tired of, you know, being out there with a bunch of dumb sheep. I'm pretty sure he had, you know, thoughts of what it was like back in Egypt. But yet, in those 40 years, God would break away all of those thoughts and everything that reminded him of Egypt for the sole purpose of building up into a leader that would eventually deliver his people. And God didn't take that lightly. What is amazing to me is that God entrusted this task with Moses. And the other thing, it says here very clearly in verse 24, that when God heard the cry of the nation of Israel, that he remembered his covenant. He remembered his promise. It doesn't mean that he forgot. But I'll give you an example that I think would help bring this to reality. You know, every now and then, I can recall when my girls were little that if they were trying to do something and if I was standing near them or next to them, if they were trying to reach for something and they're on their tippy toes or they're trying to get on top of a chair and I'm standing right there, it's like not saying anything. I see the need, but what is it that I'm wanting for them to look at me and say, can you help? I'll be more than happy to give it to you. And it's in those circumstances that sometimes God's right there and we keep reaching and we keep trying to do things and we get a bigger chair or we get something else to try and reach it. And if you have to get an extension ladder, let me just tell you right now, don't do it. Don't do it. But instead of asking, we just feel like we can do it ourselves. And all the while, God is right there just saying, just ask me. Just ask me and I'll be willing to help you. And so sure enough, God remembered his promise. And as God is getting ready now to help raise up and deliver his people, again, God's timetable. Why did he wait so long? Even in the simplest of details, the Pharaoh dying was an important one. Why? Because now Moses could go back without the fear of this king threatening his life. Why was it that he had to wait until that king was dead, or why was it so long that the nation of Israel cried out? They may have cried out before, but was their cry, notice in that one verse, multiple times, they cried out, they groaned, they cried out, they groaned because of the bondage, because of the bondage, and they finally delivered it to the Lord. So all of these pieces are now starting to form and help us to understand something that I pray will wrap up this message. And what is it? That every part of our walk with the Lord, listen carefully, beloved, is preparation. Where do we see that in the scriptures? Philippians 1, verse 6, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. So when God starts a work in you, he's not going to complete it until we see Jesus face to face. So that means every part of our life is not just under construction. Not only are we a work being transformed, this work of sanctification, but again, it's a process. And how many of us can agree that there's some things that in our walk with the Lord that come easier than others? You know, to have the ability to learn things from the Lord, we all learn in a different pace. Some of us right now are just learning how to pray. Others, it came naturally. There are some people who are not afraid to evangelize, but in others, listen, I understand. You know, one of the testimonies from Greg Laurie, who's probably one of the greatest evangelists of our time right now, he says, oh man, put me in front of a pulpit at Harvest and I'll preach till my face turns blue. He goes, but don't ask me to talk to somebody one-on-one. It's like, how is that? How can you stand in front of thousands and thousands of people, preach the gospel like it's nobody's business, but yet you have a problem with a one-on-one? And he's like, I feel much better behind a pulpit, so I think I just need to take a pulpit wherever I go. I don't know. But it comes easier for some than others. When it comes to, listen, showing forgiveness, for some it's easier than others. But we're all called to do it. We're all called to extend grace and mercy to those who are near us, and even for those who are believers and those who are not. This is what we're called to do. So some of us get it, and others, it just takes a little bit more time. But the reality is that everything that we are going through is a preparation for what's ahead. And I'm telling you right now, what an amazing opportunity that we have today. Because I'm going to tell you once again that our world needs some hope. I'm going to keep sounding like a broken record. Instead of us getting angry and upset at what happened at the Grammys or what's happening in our libraries, instead of throwing your frustrations on social media, do something about it. Pray over it. Ask God how you can get involved and do what you need to do to be a voice for the Lord. But the reality is this, with all of those things that are happening, God is wanting to use them in our lives to help build our faith, to strengthen us, and then to use us to tell people about him. You guys remember John the Baptist, right? His whole ministry was a ministry of preparation. What was he preparing people for? The very first coming of Jesus. Prepare the way. The Messiah is coming. Get your heart right. That was his message. And can I just tell you that I believe with all my heart, this is the exact same ministry that God desires of us today? Because as he's preparing our heart to not just grow and to share, but God desires to use us because he is coming back again. And I believe that he has a desire to use all of us to help other people be prepared for that second coming. And if we don't do anything and we have God's truth, all of us, I'm not saying this to threaten you, But it's the honest truth. You and I, as believers, are going to stand before the Lord and give an account with what we did with His word. And we have been so blessed. And I think I can speak on a lot of us. How many of us have more than one Bible? How many of us have our Bible on our phones? How many of us have an audio so that if we're lazy, we don't have to read it? We can just listen to it in our ears. We have everything that we have so many resources. And yet, why is the church some of the blame of what we see happening in our world? And I pray that we would just take note as Moses was being prepared. I believe with all my heart, God is wanting to prepare us. And in this season right now, the more of Jesus in us, the more that we are going to be that light, the more that we are going to be a voice, the more that we're going to be standing up for those who are, you know, being abused, or if we see injustice happen, we're not going to turn our heads, but we're going to be that source of help for those in their time of need. And I pray that all of us would know that. And you don't have to think that you need to do it all alone. Remember Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for tonight, and I want to thank you for, again, just allowing us to see throughout the scriptures of how you prepared Moses. And as we get ready to jump into chapter 3, Lord, we're going to see how you revealed yourself to Moses. We're going to see some pretty amazing things. And when you finally revealed your calling for Moses, God, we're going to see him make several excuses. But I pray that as we walk through it, as we study it, that you would give us the ability to see how amazing you are as you reveal in a preparation, whether there's good events or bad happening in our life. There is nothing ever wasted in God's hands. He will turn circumstances around. He will give us the strength to not just look up, but to stand boldly before a world that is so in denial of him, that God would give us a stirring in our heart to be involved. God, all of this is what you desire. So tonight, would you please continue to show us how we can live for you? Help us, Lord, be ready for in that season when you will ask us to do things that we may not necessarily want to hear, the challenging, the difficulties that it'll bring. But Lord, we know this to be true, that when we stand before you, before this world, when we declare the truth of the gospel, Lord, you're going to be standing right there with us. So no matter what may happen to us, Lord, we're hitting within you. You are our hedge of protection. You are the one that will be our vindicator. You are the one that will help us in our times of need. And so, Lord, thank you again for your amazing love and your grace. Would you continue to stir in our hearts more of a love and a passion for you? And if we find ourselves in those seasons, Lord, of being in silence, God, may we also pray and ask, Lord, teach us, show us what you desire for us to learn through this season. And I believe with all my heart, God will answer. So tonight, I pray that God would continue to minister to you as we worship the Lord. So Lord Jesus, do what you do best. Touch us, heal us, bring us confirmation, bring us a word that we may once again, Lord, rest in you and our faith be built up. So Lord, we love you and we just give you this time now in Jesus' name. Amen.